Who doesn't like a good celebration? I sure do. I'm the kind of person who loves celebrating. You can ask Pastor David. I mean, give me any small reason, and I'll plan you a party. Like, let's say a snow day, right? Let's have some homemade cinnamon rolls. And by the way, do you want to build a snowman? The kids sure do. Or then you have the first warm day of the season. You can bet that we're having some donuts to celebrate. Easter, can't do Easter without an old-fashioned Easter egg hunt. And then Earth Day, we're planting a couple of trees, if nothing else, right? What about the end of the school year? Ice cream sundaes. Definitely have to have ice cream sundaes to celebrate the end of the school year. And don't even get me started on birthdays. You see, I love me a good celebration. I'm the kind of person who loves getting on Pinterest to collect some inspiring and creative ideas, and I'm excited about today because I hear there's a party taking place in the streets of Jerusalem. You see, Jewish people from all over the Roman Empire, they have come to the city to celebrate the first harvest, the Feast of Shavuot, and also the giving of the Torah, of the Mosaic Law. It's kind of like our Thanksgiving, if you want to compare, except it is a lot more religious. And there's a reason why those who have come to the city thank God for the blessings of food and nourishment this particular time of the year. I mean, if you think about living in Israel, it's dry, it's hot, and a change of seasons from winter to summer is almost always accompanied by these really harsh and sand-filled windstorms. And while this time of the year is typically kind of pleasant for us because we're getting our yards and gardens back in order, you know, for them, spring is typically associated with strong winds blowing over a period as long as 50 days. So naturally, this period of 50 days would have been a time of anxiety for the ancient Israelites because the strong winds could easily destroy the crops. And so when the Feast of Shavuot finally arrives after these long and miserable 50 days, the party is real. The celebration and thanksgiving for the harvest is very fervent, and the atmosphere is joyful. I'm sure you can imagine friends who haven't seen each other for a year. They're catching up with each other, and the families are gathering grandma's house. And you know the food? You know how Thanksgivings typically look like, right? I mean, there's quite a spread, and the food looks delicious, and there's music, and there's dancing and vendors in the streets, and the followers of Jesus, they're inside of the house praying. It's hopping in the streets of Jerusalem, but they choose to seclude themselves inside the building. But then, all of a sudden, we hear in the book of Acts, things get pretty wild in that house as well. You know, with wind and fire and languages and all of that. And then before we know it, this cloistered group of Jesus' followers, they spill out into the streets, and Peter gives one of his best sermons yet. And then more than 3,000 people are baptized. Let me tell you, would I love to see the church in the 21st century America filled with such life and filled with such enthusiasm and fervor? And you know, those baptisms, I'd like to see those as well. And you know, I wonder, how in the world did they reach those numbers? 3,000 baptism. I mean, there was no evangelism committee or fundraisers that would attract people from around town. I don't think they had some bulletins or announcement sheets listing all the wonderful things that the church has to offer. And I'm quite certain there were no special events, no bake sales, no festivals. You know, I don't even think they had a mission statement. They did not list their goals and specific plans how to reach out to their existing community. But still, this first century church in Jerusalem, it was a place to be. It was a place that was hopping, a place to bring your kids, a place to get baptized and confirmed and married and all that good stuff. Well, let me pause here for a minute. Where there is spirit, there is no need for evangelism committee. Amen? Where there is spirit, there is life, and there is enthusiasm, and there's eagerness. And where there is spirit, things are changing and growing and springing and laughing with joy. They're hopping. And where there's spirit, there's good news. And the good news that I want to share today is that we don't celebrate Pentecost by copying someone else's version of hazy and distant events, no matter how spectacular. We celebrate Pentecost by doing it, by living it. You know, we did not baptize 3,000 people today. Yet we baptized Rosalie. See, there is life in here. And we did not confirm 3,000 this year, but next week we'll confirm Anya and Grace and Emma. See, there is life in here. And we may not witness the literal fires or a literal windstorm inside this house of worship. Yet the Spirit of God, the dove, she sets our hearts on fire, and she continuously storms into our lives to call us out of complacency. See, there is life in here. And we may not speak 10 languages each, yet the Spirit is training us, equipping us to communicate about the love of God, whose only Son, Jesus, died on the cross and was raised from the dead on the third day for each and every one of us. See, there is life in here. And we may not eradicate hunger in the world, yet today after worship at 1 o'clock, we will get together with our shovels and wheelbarrows and build 20 raised beds to fill with topsoil from our local North Shore Garden Center. And soon after, we will plant the first of over 700 seedlings that were started by our Sunday school and nursery children and by our contemporary worship service in order to grow healthy food for those in our community who otherwise could not afford it. See, there is life in this place. There is life in here, and we may not fill these pews in a matter of a year or even two. But we're helping to build a community where people care, where people treat those around them with dignity, where people live in kindness towards those around them. See, there's definitely life in here. And the Spirit, the breath of God, the dove, she's responsible for life. And that's why we're here this morning. And that's why we celebrate. See, Pentecost may no longer be a feast of the harvest, but the celebration continues because God's Spirit was not only yesterday. God's Spirit is now. She is today here in this beautiful town of Port Washington, here in the United Methodist Church. She touched her daughter Rosalie's heart. And she continues to embrace each and every one of us, God's children. And even more so, church, the Spirit trusts all of us, trusts us enough to call us to action. And that would be you, each one of you. And that would be David and me too. Because God is on the move. And anyone who calls out to God, Peter says, anyone who calls out to God will be saved through God's Son, Jesus. Reason number one, why we purposefully spill into the streets of Fort Washington and preach Jesus in word and action alike. Reason number one, why we advertise on social media or the website and email, why we show up at the community events and gatherings, why we roll our sleeves and open our wallets and get our hands dirty for the sake of those whom the Word of God calls our neighbors. And spoiler alert, our neighbors are people who need us. All people. Not just those who are like us. Because you see, the Spirit, whom John's Gospel calls our comforter, she doesn't necessarily bring the warm oatmeal cookies and a cup of freshly brewed coffee. The Spirit brings the comfort of the truth. And the truth is not exactly cozy and snuggly and easy at times. Because the not-so-cozy thing that the Spirit does is to form us into a community, a new kind of community, sometimes despite us, sometimes against us, but always for us. And it is the dove. It is the Spirit, the breath of our God, who can turn our mindset from them into us. Against all social boundaries and cultural differences and societal odds, the Holy Spirit turns us from a them into we. Because the church was never meant to remain just for itself and the people like us. The church was never meant to stay inside, never meant to build buildings in the first place. The church was never meant to devote itself to crumbling institutions. Our Savior Jesus, he says it quite clearly, go and make disciples. And he also says, love one another as I have loved you. Or he says, when you care for the least of these, you have shown your care to me. And that's hard work. It takes a lot of energy, and it takes a generous heart, and unceasing forgiveness, and a relentless prayer, and at times it may seem like an uphill battle. So what do we do instead? We domesticate Christ's words. But the thing is, we cannot tame God's Spirit. While it's possible to domesticate the words of the Scriptures, it's impossible to clip the Spirit's wings. We cannot box her in. The dove flies where she wills, and she has left the building, church. There's no going back. So forward, we need to go. And we need to go big and bold, and life will never be the same again. And neither will the town of Fort Washington. Because God has poured out God's Spirit on everybody. Peter says God has poured out God's Spirit on women and men, on children and elders and toilet cleaners and lawyers and garbage collectors and investors. God has poured out God's Spirit on pastors and laity, on gay and straight, uneducated, and those who are uneducated. God has poured out God's Spirit on citizens and immigrants and refugees, the rich and the poor, all without difference. In fact, God has poured out God's Spirit even on us. The United Methodist Church here in Port Washington. And God has done so very generously. It is happening, beloveds, and there is no going back. Amen. Thanks be to God.